This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. It's the time of year most of us would rather stay inside and stay warm, but it's also a great time to bundle up and head outdoors and enjoy all that nature has to offer. And our area's many first-class parks and nature preserves are the perfect places to do just that. Here to talk about the many winter programs offered by our park systems are Kimberly Witten, Marketing and Communication Coordinator for Great Parks of Hamilton County, and Jennifer Harton with the Cincinnati Parks Explore Nature Program. Good afternoon to both of you.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Maybe tell us about your favorite place to go for a walk during the winter. And Jennifer, can you start off by talking about how big is Cincinnati's park system? It's pretty extensive, isn't it?
Yeah, Cincinnati has one of the largest park system, urban park systems in the country. And we have about, in Mount Airy alone, it's 1,500 acres there. We have about 100 parks and all the way from the west side to the east side of Cincinnati, we have great parks.
And Kimberly, what's the size and scope of the Hamilton County Park District?
Well, we have over 16,600 acres of land across Hamilton County. And it's all over the area, you know, all the way from, you know, the south, northeast, and west. I mean, from Miami Whitewater Forest all the way down to Woodland Mound on the east side. So, we have plenty of parks. We have over 70 miles of trails for people to enjoy, which is a great inspiration to be able to go out, do the trails when it's cold out. You just got to bundle up and get out there and enjoy nature.
Yeah, for the size it is, Cincinnati compares pretty favorably to with the number of parks and nature preserves that it has. What kind of benefits do the community and the environment get from our local park system?
Oh, they get plenty of just wonderful opportunities to be able to get out and enjoy, connect with nature, connect with each other out in nature. You know, our main mission is conservation, recreation, and education. And we like to represent those in all the different parks that we have. And we have 21 parks and preserves throughout Hamilton County for people. If you think about it, most of our parks and preserves are only within 20 minutes of your home, of most communities. So it's not too far to go to be able to get outdoors and enjoy nature.
What are some of the benefits that people in Cincinnati get from their park system?
Well, in Cincinnati, we have so many great parks. And during the winter, I think we were talking about the winter activities. So the benefits are just endless.
You can get outside, do something healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can go hiking. We have when there's snow, of course, you can go skiing, sled riding. A lot of people in Cincinnati love to do birding in the winter. There's just a variety of things that you can do out in the parks.
You know, birding in the winter might actually work better because you have a better view of things with all the leaves being off the tree, right?
That's right. And with birding, you can also get a more of a local flavor in the winter. You have your resident birds. You can feed them and you'll see them at your bird feeders. So, yeah, and without the leaves, you can see a lot of activity in the trees and stuff with the birds.
What are some good places in Cincinnati to take a walk or take a hike during the winter, Jennifer, if somebody wants to bundle up and get outside?
Yeah, we have some great areas, like in Mount Airy Forest is one area that's, you know, it's an urban park, but it is a great location to go and hike. And you can go out and hike for a couple hours at a time and really not see any buildings or streets or whatever. Some of the less known parks maybe on the east side of town would be California Woods, Stanberry, French Park. These are little niche parks. They're not little niche parks. They're regional parks, but they're parks that are a little bit less known, and you can go out hiking and you can go down into the creek beds and collect fossils or clay or, you know, stuff like that.
So there's no excuse to sit at home in front of the TV during the winter?
No, not at all. That's actually my favorite time to hike is in the winter, and especially when it snows. So,
Kim, what are some of the good places to take a hike during the winter in the county park system?
Well, I have to say, I personally am a little partial to Sharon Woods. I love going on the Gorge Trail out there. It's only 0.7 one-way miles, but I'll tell you, you go along the gorge area there, there's waterfalls. In the wintertime, you can see them when they're frozen over, which is beautiful. You know, there's the nice trail that goes around the lake, and when it's frozen, it seems like you're kind of at peace. You know, it's kind of a serenity kind of thing when you're out there in the parks. I think another trail that's probably one of my favorites is out at Miami Whitewater, which is our largest park, and it's the Shaker Trace Trail, and it's just over 8 miles. It's paved, but once you're out there, you're out there, and you can really see some of the wildlife, because like she was saying, there's, you know, when you're out in winter, there's no leaves on the trees, there's plenty of open area for the animals and wildlife to roam. So that's a great area to go out and do a little birding and do some walking. I don't know. I mean, those are two of my personal favorites. Obviously, there's Winton Woods. There's Woodland Mound, which is over down on the east side along the Ohio River. You've got Shawnee Lookout that has an awesome, awesome trail that actually goes up, and you can look over the Ohio River Valley. You can see the Great Miami River going into the Ohio River, and it's just beautiful. It's just you hike all the way up that trail, and you're huffing and puffing, and when you get to the top, you're just like, oh, wow. Look how beautiful this is.
Well, and again, you have the advantage with no leaves on the trees. You can see things much more clearly. You get a much clearer
view. Oh, absolutely. You can see the barges going up and down the river. You can see, you know, if there's a train trestle down there, and you can see, you know, the train going by and all that. So,
Jennifer, what about Mirror Lake at Eden Park? That seems to me like that would be a fun place to hang out in the winter.
It is. It is a fun place. A lot of people get confused about the ice skating on Mirror Lake.
Yeah.
We do have a policy where you can skate on it when it gets cold enough, but there has to be a blue flag flying. There's a flagpole there, and the ice has to be 6 inches deep. For safety, we really need to keep people off the ice until it's safe to go on there. So I think a lot of people get confused about that, but it's a great place if it gets cold enough for a long time to go ice skating.
Kim, are facilities like restrooms, are they open during the winter park hours, and are there rangers or staff that are on duty all during the winter?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We make sure, especially safety is one of our number one priorities, so we always make sure that we have ranger staff available at all the parks. Some of the parks are a little bit more, they don't have a facility at the park, but they're in districts, so there's rangers that will cover sometimes more than one park, but they are always present, and if they're ever needed, we're always there for anybody that might have, you know, a question, or, you know, even if something, you know, were to happen, or if they were to fall or anything like that, rangers are always there and they're always available. Restrooms too, yes. Some do close down just depending upon where they're at, if they're not heavily used, but the ones that are in more populated locations, they're usually open.
Jennifer, what about the city parks? Do they keep their facilities open during the winter? Or?
We have a couple facilities in Eden Park that are kept open year-round. That would be at Twin Lakes and Mirror Lake. But for the most part, we close down our restrooms because we don't have them heated, so we can't have the restrooms open for that reason. But we do have a couple of facilities, like the nature centers that you can visit. If you're in those parks, you can visit them and use the restrooms there.
You know, I was thinking a great place to visit would be Crone Conservatory this time of year. If you don't want to be out in the cold, there's a lot you can do there, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Right now we're in the middle of show change, so you can still go there and visit the Tropical House and the Fern House and the Desert House. The showroom is closed down right now for a couple of weeks until we get our pre-spring show in, but it is the warmest place in Cincinnati.
It's beautiful, too, and you can take a nice walk in there. There's actually enough space to do that.
Yes.
Do any of the parks have special trails or boardwalks or facilities for someone who's using a wheelchair or maybe they might have trouble walking? How are they set up for folks with disabilities?
Oh, yeah. Our trails have they're kind of rated at different levels. Level 4 being the most challenging, so it's normally our nature trails where there's uneven surface. Level 1 is handicap accessible. That means it's paved. That means it's easy to access from, you know, the parking lot to the trail. There's not a lot of uneven ground. So, yes, we do have a variety of trails that are of level 1. some level two are also handicap accessible. But when you get up to like level three, level four, that's when you're getting a little bit into the uneven ground.
And Jennifer, what about Cincinnati as far as accessibility? How are the parks set up for that?
Yeah, we have a treehouse in Mount Airy that is totally accessible to handicapped individuals. It's kind of like a boardwalk that goes out to a treehouse, so the wheelchairs or somebody that is not able to manage easily, they can go right out, and you're in the trees, really. Once you get to this treehouse, you're in the trees. We also do have another accessible walkway at Bettman Natural Resource Center, which is in East Walnut Hills. And there is a walkway there that is lined with concrete curbs so that wheelchairs don't veer off the trail. So those are a couple of ones that I can think of right offhand.
Okay, Kim, so someone wants to take their family out to the park. It's in the 20s. And what would you recommend to prepare to have a fun and safe hike?
I would recommend bundling up.
That's a biggie.
Yep, that's very important. All extremities, you know, your fingers, make sure you wear nice wool socks, you know, a hat. Just be ready for, you know, any kind of weather. I mean, the weather can change. It can start snowing. So you want to make sure everybody's bundled up. You also want to make sure that you have the proper shoes, depending upon what kind of trail you're going to be going on. Like I said, we have a variety of nature trails, paved trails. We have park horse trails. We even have horse trails. You just want to make sure you have the right footwear, you know, depending upon where you're going to be going with your family. You know, we encourage people to get out and to, you know, experience nature, connect with nature by going out and seeing the different wildlife, you know, taking a walk around a lake, looking for waterfowl in the wintertime, you know, stopping by the visitor center to, you know, kind of, we usually have some nature educational type interactive things that are there that they can do. You know, just get out and just take a moment away from the hustle and the bustle of life and just enjoy nature.
You had the Great Parks had the Winter Jamboree, was it? That was one of your early January events for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any idea how that went?
I'm sure it went well. I mean, you know, kids start getting a little restless in the wintertime, you know, and they're wanting to get out and do stuff. And so if you give them the opportunity, like the many events and programs that we have going on throughout the year, and especially in wintertime, you know, they're going to let loose. They're going to have a blast. So that's why, you know, the park systems are here, is to be able to provide people, you know, opportunities to be able to enjoy, no matter what kind of weather's going on outside.
You do that winter jamboree just one time in the winter, is that right?
Right, yeah.
Well, you've got some things that are coming up, though, tomorrow and even into Sunday.
Because it is a three-day weekend, so yeah. Some people are off on Monday. So, you know, the Winter Jamboree, like you said, that happened this morning. So, you know, I'm sure they had a blast. We have Constellations tomorrow through Monday. We're actually going to be having that out at Sharon Woods. And they'll get to kind of experience the night sky and see, you know, what's going on, the different constellations, what they mean. But it's actually, you won't... it'll be our indoor planetarium. So, I mean, you'll be able to take what you learn inside the indoor planetarium and be able to go outside and look around and be able to identify what the different constellations are. That's a good family event. I mean, anybody's interested, adult, kid, you know, people love, you know, the stars. So we also have a winter celebration that's going on. That's January 17th and 18th. So that's Saturday and Sunday. And you basically get to, it's a unique winter wildlife knowledge opportunity. We have a bear cave out at Winton Woods. We set up a bear cave, and everybody can kind of learn how different wildlife, like, live in the winter, like how they survive and everything. So you get to do crafts and things like that. So that'll be a lot of fun. There's some other ones that are going on this weekend. I mean, I could go on and on through the whole wintertime. But
quite a few things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jennifer, you've got Native American Nights. That's tonight, right?
That's right.
Can
and
tell
that,
me about
and
that event?
That's also at our planetarium in at Trailside Nature Center in Burnett Woods. So that's going on tonight. And as Kimberly was saying, you know, you get to experience the stars in a enclosed environment. But if you want to go out afterwards and check out the night sky, you can maybe see what's going on in our night skies and be inside for right now for the evening. And then tomorrow night, we have a family science night that's happening at Caldwell Nature Center. And then on Monday, we have a holiday break camp, which our naturalist at Loboito Woods is going to be talking about frozen critters.
That sounds appropriate. Kim, on MLK Day, you have the 1803 Farmstead Program. Now, that's a chance to look at what life was like for a farmer back in the 1800s, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's out at Parkey's Farm, which everybody loves going out there. It's out in Winton Woods, and it's a 100-acre interactive, fully functioning farm with live farm animals and the whole shebang. So they get to go out there, and they'll get to discover how farming was in the 1800s. You know, nowadays it's a little bit easier. We have newer technology, we have newer tools, but back then it was a little bit more complicated, a little bit more rough. So it kind of just, you know, puts a perspective on, you know, how things used to be back in the 1800s. And then also on MLK Day, at 10 o'clock and 1 p.m., we have a kids' day at the park. So we're actually going to get out and take a hike, and we'll have some hot chocolate, make a craft, and that'll be out at Farbach Werner, which is there over in Coleraine Township.
Now, both the park systems have nice websites. Does either park system have an app, or do you know of an app that can help folks explore the local parks?
We do not have an app right now for that. We do encourage people to go and look at CincinnatiParks.com. We also have Facebook and Twitters. So, we encourage people to use that. But I know that I have friends that use their like walking apps when they're walking and hiking and running in the parks, and they enjoy that because they find out how long they've been running or, you know, how what the mileage is.
Yeah, same thing. We encourage people to go to greatparks.org to be able to find out all the information they need about the parks. You know, we are on social media, Facebook and Twitter as well. And, you know, we encourage people just to get out. We're actually doing something coming up in the spring, summer, fall. It's called Step It Up Trails Challenge. And it's going to be something that people can participate in. They can go to our website. They can log in. And there's 5 out of 7 parks that they can hike at. And if they complete the challenge, then they get a T-shirt and, you know, some recognition at the end. So it kind of encourages people to just get outdoors and go experience the different parks, experience the different trails that you haven't experienced before.
This one sounds interesting. It's coming up on Tuesday. It's called Canoeing the Boundary Waters.
Can
I tell us about that?
That's actually going to be an indoor program. It's going to be put on by somebody who has actually experienced the Boundary Waters, which is in northern Minnesota and southwest Ontario. I heard it's absolutely gorgeous up there, so I'm sure the photos and images he's going to be showing are just going to be amazing. It's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and it's just a good time to kind of just, if you can't be outside and you don't want to be outside, you can stay warm inside and experience the outside by listening to this gentleman talk about his experiences in the Boundary Waters.
And if you're a diehard paddler, this will give you an idea of how to set up your own trip to this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's what that whole area up there is all about, is paddling. It's just miles and miles and miles.
Now, you mentioned horse trails, Kim. Can people ride their own horses in some parks, or can they rent horses?
Yes, they can. They can ride their own horses. We have horse trails out at Miami Whitewater Forest. We also have a Winton Woods Riding Center, which there's some wonderful experienced staff up there. It's in Winton Woods, obviously. And they will teach you English and Western, you know, they'll teach you how to care for a horse. They'll, you know, you can ride their horses. You know, you can bring your own. It's just... it's a great facility to teach people how to go horseback riding. And actually, as a matter of fact, our spring break horse camp registration is open right now. If anybody's, you know, thinking about learning, you know, how to do that, it's for ages 7 to 17. So it's a good age for people to start learning how to go do horseback riding. And that actually runs March 31st through April 9th. But now's a good time to start thinking about spring. So.
Sure is. Jennifer, what are some of the other events that are coming up later this month and next month at Cincinnati Parks that you might want to highlight for us?
Yeah, the programs that I talked about earlier are what's happening, are our public programs in January, but we also have a lot of programs that we are working with schools and scouts, homeschoolers, that if you go on the website, you can find out what those specific programs are, and you can really work with our naturalists to design them to your specifications and what you need them for. In February, we have a couple of programs happening on Valentine's Day. There's a summer camp fair at the Cincinnati Sports Center. And then we also have a sweet rewards for Valentine's Day at Caldwell Nature Center. That's a little bit of a program about maple syruping. And we also have a program at Loboito on the Ravine to Freedom. Loboito Woods is located in on the west side of town, and it's situated, the nature center is on the top of the hill, but the ravine was one of the ravines that was used for escaping slaves. So we do a whole program on that. And then we have another, in February, we have a Backyard Birds at Avon Woods. And that's, you know, talking a lot about the birds. And as we talked about earlier, how nice it is to be able to do some birding in the winter when you can see them a little bit better. And we also have a holiday camp at on President's Day at California Woods. And that is another program talking about maple syruping, because we're kind of getting into that season where we do...
Sweet.
Yes. All right.
Okay. And Kim, I noticed there are a couple of wood carving classes that are coming up later this month.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a good thing to do, so you can whittle away the winter months.
Oh, yeah. Whittle away the winter... That's... Oh, I see that.
Two puns in a row. It's pretty
That's
bad.
Really good. Yeah, there are actually two session classes that you can take. And members from the Cincinnati Woodcarvers Guild are going to be doing those programs. So you'll have people who know what they're doing. You'll get to carve a wooden goose. It's a shelf goose. It's a smaller one. They'll provide the wood. They prefer if you can bring your own wood carving knife. If you don't have one, you can purchase one at the program. But yeah, it's a great opportunity to take up a new hobby this winter, you know?
So I guess the gist of all this is, Kim and Jennifer, is that there's plenty to do this winter, right? There's no reason to just sit at home.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. If it's not a program or event, it's just getting outdoors.
That's right. And we encourage people to use the outdoors. But if you're a little bit too cold to go outdoors, we do have a lot of programs indoors, too. So,
and again, quickly, a website if people want to check out Great Parks.
Greatparks.org.
And
ours is CincinnatiParks.com.
And, of course, we'll have a link to that at WVXU.org. So thank you very much, Kimberly and Jennifer,
for joining us
this afternoon. And
thanks,
Kimberly Witten
us.
Is the Marketing and Communication Coordinator for Great Parks of Hamilton County. And Jennifer Harton is with Cincinnati Parks Explore Nature Program. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. Thanks to the WVXU engineering staff, Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike McCanich. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday coming up next on 91.7. The 1964 Civil Rights Act marked its 50th anniversary last year. While the act did not eliminate discrimination against minorities, it opened the door to further progress by lessening racial restrictions on the use of public facilities, providing more job opportunities, and strengthening voting laws. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll look at the history and impact of the 1964 Civil Rights Act and what progress still needs to be made. That Cincinnati Edition, Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock on 91.7 WVXU.